From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 252, recorded live Thursday, February 3rd, 2011. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Paul Betts about extending the Reactive framework.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today, we've got Paul Betts on, Microsoft engineer, deep in the machine somewhere. Where do you work now, Paul?
These days, I'm working on in office labs. So we're working on kind of the future of productivity, kind of what our office is going to do beyond 2010. And what's interesting, how can we take these trends in the industry and kind of mix them together and make a great office experience.
And before, you used to, like, what, patch the kernel? You worked somewhere in the middle of the beast.
Yeah, so when I was in college, I told everyone, it's like, yeah, I really want to do UI when I applied to Microsoft. And they're like, you know what, we got the place for you. The OS kernel and drivers. So, but it was very cool. I got to see all kinds of different things. OEMs like, Dell and Toshiba call us up, and they're like, we're making this new machine, but we're having some problems. We need you to fix this Windows issue. And that's what I did. It was very cool.
Wow, that's another show right there. But the thing I wanted to talk to you about is that there's this thing that I talked to Eric Meyer about a while back called the RX, Reactive mm-hmm. Extensions. And recently, I think last week, that became like an official thing. It was a labs thing that had been worked on and kind of a incubator. And then it has become official. It is supported and people can download it. But it's confusing. And I'm not, even though I did a full show with Eric and I think I pretty much get it, I'm not 100% there. And then you've gone mm-hmm. and extended it, taking the concept of model view, view model, mm-hmm. and merged it with RX and made something even more interesting that could potentially change how someone would write a UI. So can you start me at the beginning and explain what reactive programming is and how RX relates to that?
Sure. So the way that I like to think of it is that I like to take start with link. You know, a lot of people understand link. We have, you know, this array, and then we kind of build this pipeline of like selects and wheres and firsts. And then at the other end, we have a new array, right? So for a lot of patterns, this is really useful. Like, you know, if I was writing a compiler, then link is really cool because I have an input and then I transform it a lot and then I end up with an output, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we have this other paradigm, like a reactive paradigm, which people have been doing reactive paradigm programming for a long time, right? Every user interface is reactive programming, right? Because we're having this event come in, this click or mouse, and then we're responding to it, right? It's not like we know ahead of time what's going to happen, right? We don't have the list of clicks that will always happen.
Mm-hmm. We mostly sit around and wait for someone to poke us and say something has happened.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it would be cool if we could take that same link ideas and then kind of apply it to things that are coming in. So instead of having an event, a really simple event called key up, that's not really what I really want to know. What I really want to know is when somebody, does this and this and this and this, then tell me that. And where the sequence of the things is like something meaningful to my program. Like I took the object and then put it in this other list, right? Dragged and dropped it or something is the
Putting it more concretely, key up is very low level, right?
Yeah.
But if someone typed a capital letter, that might be slightly higher level. And if someone typed in SCO, that might be even higher level. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Like taking when we program with events, our Lego pieces, so to say, are really small, and it's like trying to build everything using these really small pieces. And so, the reactive extensions lets us build bigger pieces, right? And then once we build that bigger piece, we can kind of combine those two bigger pieces into an even bigger piece, right? So it lets us basically kind of take these different parts and make bigger parts so that we can kind of reason about them better.
Hmm. Okay. And is this just event filtering?
It's event filtering. It's combining. The description that a lot of people give to the reactive extensions is linked to events. But really what you're doing, it ends up, it feels like, is it's really like linked to state machine, in the sense that when, if you wanted to describe this complicated pattern in terms of events, you'd have to use a bunch of Booleans like, you know, is in drag drop or is in that. And once you get enough of those Booleans, then your code becomes really confusing. So using the reactive extensions, we can get rid of these Booleans and then just say in a very like link style way, you know, this is what I'm actually interested in. Tell me when that happens.
Okay. One of the things that Eric had talked about when I talked to him before was the idea of pushing events to me, like I said before, like getting poked and saying, hey, click, click, hey, click, react to this, click, 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 versus what he called a pull model. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So I think that the way to kind of reason about it is that I like to think of it as that, you know, IEnumerable is this interface that kind of represents a list. Like we think of it as if I have an IEnumerable, I have a list. So IObservable is just like a list, but it's a list of things that will happen. So it's kind of like a future list. We can treat IObservable like a list, but a list of things that are going to happen in the future. And then we will take these things that are coming in and then throw it through the same pipeline, right? And so end up with a new pipeline, just like when we take an IEnumerable and select and wear it, we end up with a new IEnumerable, right? Mm-hmm. So the cool thing is we can use the same language that we use for describe for lists, and we can do it for, I call them future lists. So an IObservable is like a list to the future, so to say.
Okay, so can you explain where the reactive extensions stop and where your idea starts?
Sure. So kind of my inspiration was, looking over like blog posts and Stack Overflow, people would try to use reactive extensions with MVVM and which is the model view model pattern that's used in Silverlight and WPF a lot. And I'm really interested in Silverlight and WPF as well. And so I was like, well, let's see how we can put these together. So a few people on Stack Overflow are like, well, okay, so if this IObservable is this source of events, like what are events that are common and what are things that we don't usually think of events? And so one of the things was an I command. So in WPF and Silverlight, we've got this interface called I command, which is kind of an abstraction for a user command. So it can do two things, right? It can tell you when this command is available, can execute, right? And then it has execute, which lets you do the thing, right? So I was like, well, it's kind of an IObservable in the sense that every time you hit execute, that's kind of like a signal, like an event, right? So I was like, okay, so let's make an I command that is an IObservable. So we can watch, like, subscribe to whenever somebody pushes a command. So I take a button and tie it to a command, and now I can subscribe to whenever anyone pushes the button. So that was one big thing.
Okay, so my job as host is to ask ignorant questions and sound confused, which will be easy for me.
Sure.
Isn't subscribing to event, how is that different from just hooking up an event handler and reacting to it?
Sure. So when you hook up an event handler, you will always get the notification, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because if it's an IObservable, then I can put stuff between it. I can put like where, right? Where a web service call isn't running, right? So I can ignore things that I'm not interested in. I could say that I'm only interested in this command when something else is true. I'm only interested in the OK button when the password and confirm password match, right?
Okay.
So in my subscribe, I'd have to kind of encapsulate that in the event handler. And for small things, right, it's just as easy, right? I can put an if statement in my event handler, right? But as you get bigger and bigger and bigger, these event handlers get crazier and crazier and crazier, right?
Okay.
And so I could declare like a variable that says like, okay button only when web service call isn't running, or only when passwords match. And then I could combine that with other things, just like in Link when I can say like, you know, array where select, and then I could take that variable and say first.
Okay, I see. So you're taking the and again, I appreciate your use of Lego metaphor. That was very nice. You are taking really low level things, building them up using filters and the things we're used to in Link, up to the point where you've gone from just being a simple event filter to being really a little state machine, all expressed as a single Link statement to say something like, I only want this thing to happen when these two password password text boxes are the same and the password length is greater than 3.
Exactly.
Then that is a state. So how is this different from like Visual State Manager in Silverlight, where you can describe a whole bunch of states and it handles the coordination?
It's actually kind of similar, in the sense that this lets you maintain your application state, whereas Visual State Manager will reshuffle the UI to match that state. And one of the cool things you can do is you can say like, you know, button OK.select, and then select the visual state you want, right? So you could return like loading and then subscribe to that and say Visual State Manager dot go to state.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you could write code really easily that takes your application state and follows it, and then moves it, and then signals your visual state to change.
Okay. I think I'm understanding, but I'm also putting my mind in the I'm putting myself in the mind of the listener, and I'm wondering if they may be a little confused right now. So events are pushed out to me, and I know about events like button click and key down. Mm-hmm. And they come really fast. They come a lot. And each mm-hmm. time they arrive, I get called. So my key down event might be happening lots. And we're not just talking about key down. It could be mouse over and every potential event that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then those are all kind of push events, and then they're announced, they're interrupts almost. And yep. then in reactive extensions, I am kind of pulling from a collection of these events. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm having trouble getting my head around is if there's a collection of events, how am I pulling from them at real time, at the right speed? I mean, with an interrupt, it's like, hey, a key went down. You can't wait. Deal with me now. But with a collection of events, it makes me wonder if I might get behind, because I'm kind of like doing the Lucille Ball, kind of like the chocolates are on the conveyor belt and they're going really fast and I haven't been able to keep up. So suddenly things start going wrong. Can these events get ahead of me? And I mean, I get behind.
So the reactive extensions kind of guarantees that you'll never get behind. And one of the things we haven't talked about yet is the reactive extensions are kind of interesting in the sense that you describe this pipeline, and you're describing what will happen. You're not describing how it will happen. And so what I mean with how it will happen is, so with Link, we always know that when I do my for each, that's the thread in which it's going to run. So it's, you know, when I do for each, it's going to run through this pipeline one item at a time, right? So by default, it's going to follow in reactive extensions, it's going to go through this pipeline on whoever initiated the event, right? So if it fires key up, it's as if the key up handler did all that stuff. But one of the cool things is you can use what's called a scheduler, and you can say, okay, I want this set of things to happen on another thread. But I'm going to describe it in the same way. So if I wanted to change it to say, I don't want it to run on another thread, I want it to run on the UI thread, that's just like one little parameter, right? So I can describe like not only what I want to happen, I can tell where I want it to happen. And the reactive extensions kind of handles a lot of the synchronization and locking stuff. So you don't have to worry about like, am I going to run over this local variable or things? And it kind of guarantees that things happen in order, right?
I see. So this is like the reactive extensions is a very good example of a layer of abstraction that is hiding so much stuff and so much complexity underneath it that it does seem kind of surprisingly and impossibly simple. But there is a lot of work going on underneath.
Yeah, exactly. They're handling a lot of the locking and things like that that you would have to do your own yourself. And the thing that I really like about the reactive extensions is it lets you describe what you want to happen, right? In a way that's succinct. When I think about like can execute on a button, I phrase it in like this button can be enabled when these two fields are not empty, right? And so I want to write that in one sentence, kind of in one statement. And if I do that with events, I can't do that. I have to like say a little bit of it here, a little bit of it in the event handler, and then I have to check all these things. And maybe, you know, back in the day, if you coded like WinForms or even before that, like VB, you had this like update UI function, right? This function that would just, anytime something changed, you called update UI and it would change all the controls to match, right? And so instead I can say like in this one really succinct kind of the way I'm thinking about it statement, is like, I want this to be clickable when this is true.
Hi, this is Scott coming to you from another place in time. Are you using agile practices to manage your software development? There's lots of tools in the market that manage the steps of a project, but most of them focus on individual roles. Get ready for a solution that caters for the success of the whole team. The guys at Telerik introduced TeamPulse. It's an agile project management tool that'll help you gather ideas, estimate, plan, track progress in a common workspace. Finally, companies, regardless of their size, can use a lightweight and convenient tool that makes all the stakeholders work as a united team, even if they're in different countries. By combining intuitive user interface and the power of Silverlight, TeamPulse removes the roadblocks that you typically face in applying Agile in an effective manner. No more lost data, no disparate systems, no lack of critical analytics regarding the health and velocity of your project. See for yourself, get a free copy for 5 users and 1 project at Telerik.com/TeamPulse. And please do thank Telerik for supporting Hansel Minutes on their Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TELERIK, Telerik. We do appreciate it. There wouldn't be a Hansel Minutes if there wasn't Telerik helping us.
Okay, now I think we're circling the drain. This is where I think it just made sense. So it, just like Link is really nice in that you can condense things, not into one giant fluent kind of crazy sentence like some people are doing, but into a nice succinct, take this list, give me those things that start with a capital A, then sort from there and return another list. Just like you said at the beginning, you build mm-hmm. together a nice little pipeline that says, here's the list that I have, here's the list that I want. And rather than building for loops of for loops of for loops, with Link, I can just write it and say, here's kind of what I want. And then you're exactly. describing the same thing for events.
Yep. Yep. And here's the interesting thing that really kind of blew my mind and made the reactive extensions kind of apply to everything. So if you think about, WPF and Silverlight have this interface called iNotify property changed, and you use it on your view model and model objects, this interface mm-hmm. that says, hey, a property changed. So normally, you know, with a regular, just good old fashioned class, we don't know when properties change. We'd have to like ask over and over and say like, hey, is this property changed? Is it, mm-hmm. it? So notify property change lets us say, hey, it lets us be called back when a property changes. Right. And so once I realized that property change notifications are events, that was a big, like, kind of like light bulb moment, right? Because then if property change notifications are events, then they should be, property change objects should be observable, right? And that kind of makes the reactive extensions apply to anything, because really, you know, an object that you can watch when things change is a really useful thing, regardless of whether you're in MVC or you're in WPF or you're a console application, right?
Okay, so do you use this in Silverlight, but do you think that this is something that's useful everywhere?
Yeah, so I kind of split it apart. So there's a core library that doesn't depend on Silverlight, because I actually heard from people on the web that they were using it in MVC projects and kind of just cutting out pieces and pasting them into their project. So like your view model object, right? They would use this in their MVC projects. And the same thing, we also have in Reactive UI, it's called a reactive collection, which is an observable collection. So you can say, like, tell me when items are added or removed. And that's an event too, right?
Okay.
And so it's also an observable.
One of the things that I've struggled with when trying to create my Silverlight applications is I'm an old WinForms guy. Mm-hmm. And I always end up kind of with a Boolean somewhere managing state, or, you know, some variable out there that's keeping track of, you know, just something hacky. Mm-hmm. Are these libraries and the different things like MVVM, MVVM Lite? We had Laurent Pignon on the show a while back talking about MVVM, Reactive UI. Are these all things that are going to literally make my UI clean and tight and perfect? I mean, I've always wanted to have an application that didn't have state Booleans floating around in a global space, but they always seem to end up there. Is this my lack of ability, or is this actually possible now with these libraries?
I think that because of the way that these are, this pattern set up, and remember, MVVM was kind of invented after WPF, and so so I think that it wasn't really totally integrated, and so people, myself included, definitely struggle in, like, how can I get rid of this hacky Boolean? Like, you know, if you give up and, like, in the window handler, you add an event and you're like, okay, this is an MVVM proper, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of my goals, is to be able to write with Reactive UI to kind of come up with, like, how can I get rid of these hacky things and be able to write things in a way that's understandable and does what it says and kind of clean. So I don't think it's quite there yet, but it's on its way. I think there's some really interesting things you could do.
I guess I'm trying to find out whether or not it's just my lack of ability that's preventing me from pulling this off, or if I can blame it on a lack of available libraries.
I think that if it's your lack of ability, then you're not the only one. I think a lot of people are struggling with, like, how can I do
well
things
played.
Like focus, right?
Well played, sir. MVVM. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I definitely as well, like, in my side projects, I'm like, oh, this is not MVVM and I'm doing it wrong, but I got to get it out the door, right?
Yeah, well, definitely, I don't like that feeling of I'm doing it wrong. That seems to happen a lot. Like, when a library forces me into an I'm doing it wrong moment, you know, no one wants to have the library make you feel bad. You know, a library is poorly designed if it, in fact, makes you feel bad about yourself while you're using it.
So definitely. I want everyone who uses my library to feel very happy about themselves. So
yeah. A quick aside: have you got any of this in NuGet? Is Reactive Extensions and Reactive UI in the NuGet package manager, such that I can easily bring this down and start using?
Yeah.
It right
so
away,
I recently added the latest version, and the cool thing is it brings in all of the Reactive extensions for you. So it has that dependency thing where it'll just look up, like, you know, pull in all the libraries you need. So you just click on Reactive UI and then it'll pull everything down.
So even from Silverlight, I just go and say install package Reactive UI or use the user interface and this will come down.
Yep. So we support Silverlight 4, .NET 3, 5, .NET 4, and then there's a separate package because of kind of a issue in NuGet called Reactive UI -WP7. So you can use it with Windows Phone too.
Okay. All right, so we've got the reactive extensions that kind of switch the event model on its ear, allow us to kind of do link to events effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got your framework and classes that integrate with that library that are really focused on doing things correctly. You're enabling us with your reactive object and your different extension methods to make that even more intuitive and even more friendly. With me, am I right so far?
Yeah, and it's kind of rewriting some of the bridge code that a lot of people were writing. Like, when I saw people using reactive extensions with MVVM, like, you know, with MVVM Lite, they would have to write up a lot of, like, glue code, like a lot of just kind of redundant, the same thing over and over again. It's like, well, let's just get rid of that, and so they can kind of write, like, I'm really interested in when the you know, name property changes, just give me an observable whenever the name property changes. And instead of writing like, you know, observable from event, blah, 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 dot where property change, you can just say this dot observable from property. And then you can use an expression. So you say like, X dot name. And then now you've got an observable that fires whenever name changes on your object.
Okay.
So just kind of reducing the kind of junk code you have to write that kind of obscures your intent.
I've seen a number of things lately from, I know that Daniel Casalino sent me something called Magic, and there's a number of cool kind of code weaving type of aspect-oriented things that a lot of people who deal with iNotify property changed a lot come up with creative ways to get rid of it. And for those who aren't familiar with it, the idea is that you probably just want to have public string first name and public string last name, except you have to announce in the setter that something's happened, and that's often considered distasteful. So there's lots of libraries to make it easier.
Yep.
You can like use the magic library, and you basically literally put an attribute called magic on it, and it will automatically insert that for you. There's post-build steps that do things and change the code just at right post-compile time. That seems like the only thing that's not like nice about this from a boilerplate perspective is that, you know, kind of half the code you're writing is the boilerplate raise and set if changed type of stuff. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so one of these days I'm going to convince Anders to add macros to C#, and then this whole thing will be easier. I think that without using kind of aspect rewriting, I have kind of come up, well, you know, a lot of other people have it too, the shortest way to write this pattern, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned like combining properties together, and that's one other interesting thing that I've kind of, the reactive extensions really help you with is one thing that... almost the most interesting thing about reactive UI is taking a property and turning it into observable. So I want to listen to when a property changes. And you can also do the opposite. You can take an observable and turn it into a property. And this is really useful for like output properties. Like, for example, you have, say, a color picker, right? And so you have red, green, blue, three boxes, and then you need to draw the actual color. Right. And so the color is going to change when either the red, the green, or the blue change. And so you can make an observable that combines the properties red, green, blue text boxes and then output a color. And so, but WPF needs a property to bind to. It doesn't know how to bind to observables. And so one of the things we provide is a way to take an observable and put it into, I kind of call it an output property. It's kind of like this thing that you can't set, but it's going to change, and then WPF will say, oh, yeah, this property changed. So it's taking these three discrete individual properties and then combining them together and then notifying WPF when it changes.
That's interesting. I could see that being useful for date times. If you've got five or six text boxes that all represent a date time in aggregate, you could assemble a date from a bunch of text boxes. That's an interesting way to do what in the MVC, in the ASP.NET MVC world, we would call like a custom model binder, where we have something coming in on the input that can't be easily explained in a single text box or in a single piece of name value pair.
Yeah. It's kind of, if you use Silverlight and WPF, you have this I value converter, right? That lets you just take one property and then turn it into another one, but kind of the reactive extensions lets you build these super powered I value converters that can, you know,
right,
convert all kinds of different things and combine things together in interesting ways. And
it's kind of a just-in-time I value converter. I've written a number of I value converters that do like boolean to visible or boolean to you know, or visible to, I had this one that was, actually, that's an interesting question. So I was working on this Windows 7 phone application, and I have a flag in my view model that indicates whether or not an article has been read. And I wanted to present a style, and basically change the color of an item based on whether or not it had been read or not. And it became this whole complicated creation of like I value converter, and then there was a big style binding expression, and all I really wanted to do was turn this thing blue when that boolean is true, And it, it ended up being like 19 lines of code, and it felt gross, and I can't help but thinking it's probably slow, too.
Yeah, so in reactive UI, you just say observable from property, the bool, dot select, right? Because we want to take whenever the bool changes and then kind of make a new thing, and then we'd select maybe a style name, and then we'd say dot to property, and then that would send it to a certain property. Maybe we call it like red style or something like that, right?
And is this slow? I mean, like, there, whenever I have a library that gets sufficiently far away from the low-level stuff, I start to worry that, you know, observable for property, you know, making something from something else, that sounds like that would be slow on a phone.
So I haven't done too much testing on phone performance. I've definitely done a lot of profiling to see, like, how can I make sure that we're not, you know, allocating objects that we don't need to and things like this. But I built this program that it would... One of the things, aspects of it, was it would display this number counting up really fast. You know, like if you're using like a gas gauge, right? And you'll see like then a number like spin up as fast as it can. And originally, I thought I was going to have to go really low level and like override the render and like do all this crazy stuff. But originally, I was just like, okay, let's write it the easy way, you know, and just see how bad it is, basically. And actually, because of the GPU acceleration and how well this binding stuff works, it actually wasn't bad at all, right? It was updating, I think, every 200 milliseconds, and the CPU usage was like 6%, and it wasn't bad at all. So I was actually surprised that sometimes it will matter, right? If I was building something that operating on the stock exchange, I'd probably hit that limit, right? But I think for a lot of people's programs, you can write it that way. But it's the same thing with Link, right? You know, Link has a performance penalty, and you write it the elegant, easy to read, maintainable way, and then you profile to find the bits that you really need to rewrite as for loops and ugly.
All right. So is there a sample? I mean, I understand that anyone can download a library, but where's the canonical, application is full of text boxes and examples. Have you made like an address book or something that uses all of these features in an appropriate way that will teach me just by reading the code?
Yeah, so I wrote a sample and I'm working on writing another one. There's a Windows Phone sample, a WPF sample, and I'm actually working on writing a third sample based on Scott. I know you've heard of the Pomodoro timers, right? Where you have this. You know, work for 25 minutes and then break for 5 minutes. And so I'm working on writing a program that not only does that with the reactive extensions, it also tests it. And so you can imagine testing it would kind of be a little difficult, right? Because you'd have to wait a lot of time, right? Because it's a timer, right? You start and then you wait and then you can hit pause and then start again. But the reactive extensions has this really cool thing, and I actually describe it in a blog post, where you can test things that would normally take a lot of time instantly, like running it and simulating time passing, right? Which is really cool, because you can take tests that would normally have to have a lot of sleeps and kind of like delays or call out to some web service and takes a lot of time, and you can fake them out and make your tests run at full speed, which is really cool. Like I discovered that a while back, and suddenly my really unreliable thread.sleep tests turned into really, really clean, fast tests, which is really cool.
Okay, excellent. Well, I'm going to go check this out. I'm very excited that it's in NuGet. That makes me feel very positive. And I look forward to seeing your current sample and then the one that's on the way.
Yeah.
Does this have a home, like a top-level domain, or we find this deep in GitHub somewhere?
It is currently deep in GitHub. I really should register a top-level domain. But right now, the GitHub page is the best one, and it links to my blog. I write a lot about the reactive extensions and about applying it to user interfaces. So it's a good place to like at least see what you can do with the reactive extensions. I think a lot of people are like, well, how can I use this? Like, and so I think it gives a lot of people at least a lot of ideas, even if they're not interested in the actual code.
Very cool. Well, I will add links to the to your blog, to the library. There's also a video of you explaining this online people can check out. And hopefully before this show goes live, you'll spend $5 and buy a domain. So otherwise, someone's going to do it for you.
All right. Sounds good.
Very cool. Thanks, Paul, for talking to us today.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. We'll see you again next week.